flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's blind.
Yo, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. If you're watching the video, you see Dante Groove with the intro song.
Pete, who did that? Who made that video? That shit hard, nigga.
Shout out to Pappy for the hook that you guys listen to each week on this podcast. Shout out to Dante Spielberg for the editing skills in the video.
More to come. Deep in my bag this year.
Deep in his bag this year, man. It is episode 177 of Ball Don't Lie. It's our first postseason episode, man. We are getting closer to the finish line and the beginning of a new era in Ball Don't Lie podcasting, which we'll be announcing pretty soon. So stay tuned for what is next for each and every last one of you guys who listen to this podcast each and every week. But as usual, man, you know to follow me on Twitter, man. I'm your guy, Scott, at Barchair Scott on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow Dante at October Zonte on Twitter and Instagram, man. You can follow Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and IG. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. New summer sessions is out. If you follow the Barber's Chair Network, Patreon, you get 79th and Hollis a couple days earlier. So we just dropped a new one today. But if you were a Patreon subscriber, you got that shit on Saturday. So check all that out on there. We got a new episode of Summer Sessions this week. And actually, we're going to record Cinema with the Guys after we're done with this. So there will be a new episode breaking down episode 4 of season 4 of Succession. NFL Draft, when you be watching this, will be 9 days away, man. If you were in the Chicago area, Chicagoland area, and you were looking for a place to come watch the NFL Draft, come on down to Haymarket Pub and Brewery in the West Loop area of downtown Chicago for the Barber's Chair Network NFL Draft Watch Party. It is Thursday, April 27th for night one of the NFL Draft on 737 West Randolph Street. It is 5 p.m. to 10:30. Doors open up around 4:30-ish. It's going to be hosted by our guy, J.R. Bang. And on the ones and twos will be the homegirls, the label. So check all of that out. You can RSVP. You need to RSVP for entry. RSVP at thebcnet.com. I've already got a lot of RSVPs already. Come on down. It doesn't matter if you're a Bears fan, or Viking fan, a Cowboy fan, whoever. All fans are invited. Even you punk-ass Packer fans, we might have a little kid table for you, but everybody is invited for the draft party. Come out. I will be holding it down along with my brother at the NFL draft in Kansas City. We'll be holding it down, our second draft coverage for the Barbershop Network at 79th and Hollis. We're going to have a lot of stuff for you. We're going to do – I got my microphone, my reporter microphone. I'm going to be like Hits from the Streets. If you're an old nigga. Exactly. If I run into niggas in the hallway, I'm going to ask for a minute, 2 minutes of your time, man. So if you're an old nigga like me and Dante, remember Hits from the Street on BET. But you understand that reference. But we'll be down there, a lot of coverage. We're going to be doing daily podcasts, daily video content while we are in Kansas City. And shout out to everybody who tweeted me good barbecue recommendations. I will be going there when I get to Kansas City, see which ones I'm going to check out, because this is not fucking Vegas. So it's not like I can just walk down the street strip and find me some shit to eat. I was eating good and drinking good every damn day in Vegas last year.
Yeah, I will say this, though. As a fellow, we both, been changing our diets, eating different. Don't go too crazy.
No, I'm not going to go too crazy.
When I went to the crib, I went back home. I tried eating. I'm going to get everything. Didn't go well. I'm going to leave it at that.
I know my limits. I had Chipotle last night, and let's just say, and then when you know, Chipotle is not bad, but I had a long night, so I know my limits.
No, I went to the crib. I went to the crib. I had Portillo's. I had Harold's.
Oh, you was doing a full trip.
I was wilding. I had some pizza. I had a little bit of everything, G. So
honestly, you got to do that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't go to the crib much. You know what I'm saying? So you got to do that every now and then. I don't be as pressed to have Harold's when I'm in Chicago anymore, because they should have that shit here. So I don't be as pressed to have it. But I'm always on my pizza. Like, I'm only gonna be in Chicago for maybe a total of 14 hours when I'm next week. But I will be having pizza in the little 14 hours, because I live in a pizza desert. Even though, shout out to Johnny's Pizzeria in Venice, nice authentic New York style pizza. There's not a lot of good pizza in Los Angeles, so I gotta give a shout out to them.
I feel like every city got a New York pizza spot named fucking Johnny's.
Probably.
Because it's one here too. And they serve New York style pizza. That's crazy.
And it's like all of them ain't good. Like there used to be this one. I don't know if you've seen the episode of Curb where Larry went to this, and I'm not going to name the spot because I fuck with the dude on it. But Larry went to this pizza spot in Westwood, like by UCLA. And the nigga was tripping on him grabbing all the fucking
the free napkins.
That's real shit. Shout out my man Angelo. I said I'm gonna shout out Angelo. he be on it with them damn napkins, bro. Cause I worked in Westwood when I was I worked at a FedEx on UCLA campus for like 2 years. When I first moved out, it was my first job out here. And I used to go there all the time during lunch. And that nigga will be tripping on them napkins. So when I saw the episode, I'm like, damn, this is some real shit. And sometimes, that's how I know he's a little older, because sometimes the pizza be hitting. Some days, that motherfucker's a little burnt. You know what I'm saying?
If he had a rough morning, that shit wasn't going to be good.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But like, I feel like, man, there's like that one area, and this is how you know it's like hella college students over there. Bro, we had so many fucking lunch choices. Like, I used to go to a spot called Tommy's Tacos. If you're in Los Angeles, you know Tommy's Tacos. Tommy's Tacos, I used to go to all the time. They had a Chick-fil-A, nigga. They had a Korean barbecue spot over there. They had Five Guys, California Pizza Kitchen. There was a fucking Irish pub. They had good bar food in there. There was a fucking Fat Burger. If you like weak shit like In-N-Out, it was over there. It was a whole bunch of stuff that Stan's Donuts that you really don't need to be eating, but... Bro, it was 8 years ago.
I'm saying, nigga love Korean barbecue. I can't hold you. Like
Korean barbecue.
We're gonna do damage.
LA has good Korean barbecue.
Yeah, they really do.
Great.
The best I ever had.
K-Town. Yeah.
Yeah. The best I ever had. Like second was K-Town, but I had some in the Bay. When I went to the Bay, and I went to one at a spot in Oakland. That shit was crazy. Like it was good as fuck.
I gotta get to the Bay Area. I've been in Southern California for 8 years. I'm in my ninth year, and I have yet to be to the Bay. I gotta go there. But we are here. You guys are not here to listen to us talk about our favorite food choices. You're here to talk about some basketball, and we're gonna get into that, man. Our first weekend of the 2023 playoffs, man. We got a lot of stuff to get into. Shout out to Jaren Jackson Jr. He just won his first Defensive Player of the Year. They just announced it on Inside the NBA pregame show. Inside is the only studio show I still watch. Did you see Chuck and Ernie getting into yesterday? That shit had me fucking dying.
I missed it yesterday.
And you know, because Ernie never get into it. It's always usually Chuck and Shaq. Chuck and Ernie was getting into it, man. It was so damn funny yesterday. But what's some of your light year? You know, before we get into an actual run day, I know you didn't watch that much. You were a little busy this weekend, but like from what you did see, what were some things that kind of stood out to you?
I mean, I saw most of the games, but I would say the competitiveness. That's what I really liked. There were some good games, you know. Of course, some of them got out of hand at the end. I hated the injuries, but at the end of the day, we still got some very good games. Like, we still got some very good games, and like I like how the young teams, the Kings in particular, you know, they didn't come out and they weren't scared. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, you know, with that type of energy in the building, their first playoff game in that long, you knew, you know, emotions were going to be high. But I mean, they were able to ride that wave and then, you know, take care of business. And like a lot of times, like young teams, they'll get that first punch and then they get their ass beat. But they really, you know, they came strong. And like, you got to shout out Mike Brown again, who like we both think will win Coach of the Year. And I think, like I said, that's going to be a really good series. But overall, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it all, bro. I enjoyed it all.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. Like one thing I love about playoffs in all sports, whether it's NBA, MLB, Stanley Cup playoffs, NFL, Super Wild Card weekend. The first weekend is always the best because it's when it's the most games. You know what I'm saying? You can just sit in your couch, watch some shits all day. So, I mean, it was pretty good. The only bad game was Minnesota and Denver. And as we said, if we got on air, that's going to be the NBA TV series. I think, you know, it was some good basketball. It was like, it's a damn shame we had to go through 6 months of terrible regular season basketball to get to this. But one thing I have said about this low management era, if you want to call it, the playoffs have been some, outside of the weak-ass bubble, playoffs have been some shit over these last couple years. I've been really, really entertained, and I feel like this isn't going to be any different. I think the number one thing that stood out to me, this shit is wide open, bro. This shit is wide the fuck open. You can sell me on a good 16, maybe even 7, who I think could win the NBA championship. I know NBA fans or NBA detractors always say that, or there's no parity. And that's the one thing the NFL has over the other leagues or Major League Baseball is there's parity. Well, nigga, I think we got parity. And I think parity in the NBA can be a good thing, can be a bad thing, because I feel like the NBA is real superstar driven. And I do think the threat of a dominant team is always something that people like to see. And the Warriors to that are still that to the extent. But it was interesting. It was a lot of good basketball. The injuries suck. I think that was something that, you know, we need to ban the charge.
Hate that shit.
They got to ban the charge, bro.
Oh, you one of them niggas?
Yes, we got to ban the charge, bro. I'm sorry. First of all, and because, like, the John Moran injury, you know, Giannis, those things, a lot of those came off what was supposed to be charges. You know what I'm saying?
And, this is my thing. I don't think we should ban it, but you got to alter the way you call it. Like, for example, if somebody's already in the air and you slide under them, that's offensive. I mean, that's a foul on you. That's a block. That's a blocking foul every time, 10 out of 10. Like, if you standing there and somebody charge into you, then you can keep those charges. But, like, when somebody's airborne, I agree. We got to eliminate those because it's just silly. Even though John Morant just plays really reckless, and we can talk about that later. But
he does.
But at the end of the day, at the end of the day, like you said, when somebody's going up like that, you don't want to undercut them, because that's these are large human beings out there. You don't want to do it to anybody. Like, right. I damn near broke my jaw because I got undercut playing basketball outside on the concrete. So, like, it's no joke. So you definitely don't want to see that. So I feel you. Like, airborne charges, yeah, get that out of here. But you run into a motherfucker, that's a charge.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I feel like it's just with the injuries, and, you know, we can get into our first topic, man. Ja Morant, game one of the Lakers and Grizzlies, which is a very anticipated series coming into this, a series that both of us picked the Lakers winning, last week. Was it last week? I don't think we previewed that series. Was that? I'm not going to hold you. Did we preview that series? I don't think we did, because the play-in game hasn't started yet. But
yeah, the play-in game hasn't started yet.
I picked, and on, I'm not going to hold you, I picked the Lakers a 7, mainly because of no Steven Adams and no Brandon Clark, which I thought was going to be a big issue. But the Lakers won game one, 128-112. Anthony fucking Davis is one of the main stories here. He had 22 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, and 7 blocks, if I'm not mistaken, 7 blocks. The really wasn't that much, but I think the big thing was the others. Rui Hachimura put in 29 big points off the bench. The white boy Austin Reeves, 23 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. He was big off the bench. LeBron had a decent game, but you know what I'm saying? It was kind of like a group effort here. But the story coming out of this is really not the Lakers win. It's the big injury that happened to Ja Morant. Ja Morant, as we just talked about a second ago, was going through the lane. It's real good defense played by Anthony Davis. This is not Anthony Davis is not at fault for this. And by the way, Anthony Davis survived a scare. I think everybody was like, oh, here we go again. Here this nigga go again. Even Stephen A. was killing him at halftime. And this thing about AD injuries, man, I know we make jokes and shit, but he's not getting injured on purpose. Like, I feel like, you know, the over-the-top shit we see on national media, I understand it's a show. You got to do what you got to do. Stephen A. is an entertainer. You think this nigga's intentionally trying to get injured in the playoffs? Some people just have frail-ass bodies. You know what I'm saying? I'm all for Anthony Davis' jokes. Let's be very clear. I'm not caping for a Chicago Packer fan. But he survived the scare. But what we saw from Ja Morant, Ja didn't have the best of games before he got hurt. He had 6 turnovers, only like 15, 16 points. He was not having the best game. Jaren Jackson had a monster game. But he goes to the lane and he falls directly. And, like, I cringed when I watched it in real time, because, like, he just hit. And his hand, like, landed all, like, first flat down on the court. Now, anybody,
fingers first.
Yeah, fingers first. Anybody who's walked on the NBA court, that shit is very hard. there's nothing soft about that court. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know. Like, we know, we watch it on TV. It's like, you know, it's a hard floor. But when you actually stand on a court and this,
yeah, when you step on the hardwood,
yeah, this is a little flex. When you step on the hardwood, that motherfucker is very hard. Pause. You know,
when your shoes hit that parquet, nigga, it's just a different feeling. You know, it's just,
what Ross said, we on that wood. You know, it's different. So I know, like, anything, you could fall off like your bike, and if your hand hit the concrete like that, you finna have a sore ass hand. So I knew immediately as that happened, he was out. Now Woj came out today and said that this is gonna go up to the minute. It's gonna be a game time decision, but it's serious doubt that Ja Morant is going to be able to play game two. Now, the good thing for the for the Grizzlies is they probably got the best backup point guard in basketball in Tyus Jones. And I feel like if it wasn't for Steven Adams, he's great. Somebody who I think the Bulls should get. And we'll get into them sorry niggas at the end of the show. Tyus, like, if it wasn't for Steven Jackson and Brandon Clark, I wouldn't be that concerned for the Grizzlies. But without them three, I think this goes from Lakers can win this series to Lakers should win this series. What do you think about the injury and, like, the impact it had?
Absolutely, because you see how the game, you know, flipped. Even though, you know, they still put up a good fight. At the end of the day, when you lose your superstar, or like potentially lose him, we don't know how long he's gonna be out. But when you know lose your superstar, that takes a lot out of you. So did they give us a full diagnosis yet?
Yeah, they said they didn't say exactly what the injury was, but the X-rays came clean. There was no that he didn't need an MRI, and he's not in the cast. So
okay, so this is just gonna go off pain tolerance. Yeah. So knowing Ja, he's gonna pop two perks and get to it.
I don't think this is my thing. I don't think he's gonna play game two, but I think they're gonna give him
game three. He's gonna play
game three, he'll play, and then that'll be almost a week in between. Yeah, which just remind me, they're gonna be moving us the fuck out of there on Saturday for game four. Like, I hate double headers of Staples Center, nigga. After the interview, like, all right, we got to clean this shit up. So I know they're going to be moving us up out of there for the Lakers.
They're going to hit y'all in the third quarter. Hey, pack your bags up. It's Laker time.
The owners of this arena are coming. But hey,
get all this shit up. Let's go. Our boy Kirk going to be unplugging shit.
He going to be unplugging shit. But yeah, I'm with you, man. I think it's, you know, it's something where it's gonna be a blow. I do think he's gonna miss game two, but I think if they can, I feel like the Grizzlies have enough to hold the fort at least for a little bit. And the Lakers, we all know the Lakers. I watched the Lakers. Only team I've watched more Lakers this year was the Bulls. These niggas can't trick off. They almost tricked off that play-in game.
They will give you a game. Yeah, they will give you a game, and it's certainly, you know, I think, you know, like you said, even with the AD scare, like, you know, that's still something that could possibly happen. That's something that could, you know, definitely level playing fields even more. But I think at the end of the day, this Laker team is really good. That's why I picked them to win it all. I know you said I was tweaking, but
yeah, you definitely still tweaking, but.
But I think this team is really good. NG is, you know, obviously now people automatically gonna be like, oh, well, Ja ain't 100%. But I mean, that's the type of shit that happens when teams win championships. They get lucky breaks. Bro. Things break their way, you know. The ball bounces their way. So as long as LeBron stays healthy, I said Hachimura went crazy. He had a game. And then, like I said, you're talking about a team that's just much more versatile defensively now, and they get buckets. Like, shout out to Austin Reeves. Really, really surprised. What Shaq says that, owe you an apology. I wasn't familiar with your game. Like, he's been going crazy all season. I think that's somebody who a lot of people just thought it was the hype off the LeBron meme and shit. But if you actually been watching the Lakers,
now AR can shoot, man.
Yeah, he's consistently got better. Like, he can shoot, but what I like him now,
man.
Yes, he can go get his own bucket. Yeah. Like, I like that development where you see him going out there getting to it. Like, you saw it in spurts last year, but he's been much more consistent this season. And so that's a bonus. That's just this is a really good basketball team. Hands in his pockets, don't fuck it up. Darwin Ham, then they're gonna be okay. But I think the Lakers can go out. Like I said, I think they're gonna win it all, but they're gonna definitely take care of the Grizzlies, probably in five, if we're being honest.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of Laker basketball. G, they're gonna trick off at least two. Like, at least two. They're gonna trick off some, but they just don't have it in them to be like they don't have no killer in it. What Logan say, you have to be a killer.
Yeah, this is one of those moments where you realize Bron can't really fit that switch no more.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
We're not gonna get zero dark 30 Bron. He come out here and just get him 40 every night. Like,
and Bron knows that himself. He was deferring a lot in that second half. He knows, but honestly, that was the point of bringing in Anthony Davis, so LeBron doesn't have to do what he used to do. And I think the thing is, like, yeah, the Lakers can make it to the final. They're not winning. Like, it would take – I just can't see them beating anybody in the East. And I still don't think they could beat, you know, Phoenix or, like, you know.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about the draft.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the draft. KC, Phoenix, or, like, Golden State, Denver. Like, there's some teams I still don't think, just because of just how they are, that I just don't see. Like, Rui Hachimura is not going to play that way every night. But – Austin Reeves can play like this every night. That's the thing. Like you said, The shooting is one thing. Most white boys, if you're in the league, you know how to, you have a jump shot. Like, that's the only reason you're in the league. So the jump shot is not what surprises or what I like. It's the playmaking ability. He plays solid defense. He can come off a screen and murder you. They have no answers for him off the screen yesterday. And then on top of all of that, the number one thing for this Laker team, why they've been so mediocre the last 2 years, is they're getting back to that 2020 style defense. They're locking up, and that's exactly what's going to help them in each of these rounds they try to get through, man. But I think the series is still going to be interesting. I'm definitely still confident in my Lakers in seven pick, and it might be lower. Probably will be six now. But I'm not ready to count the Grizzlies out yet. It's a long series, and that's one thing I hate about. One thing I did this week on yesterday. Well, I did on Saturday. I didn't. On Sunday, I didn't tweet anything. I didn't tweet anything all day on Sunday, but especially not during the games. It's so much more peaceful. I don't need to be reading these hot takes right out the game, anything over. It's fucking annoying, man. But yeah. I think that this is something where game two is a must win, though. If you're the Grizzlies, you need to find some way to win this game before heading. You know, you don't want to come to the Lakers to Staples down 0-2.
Yeah, I'm about to say, because the energy in Staples is going to be through the
roof. It's going to be through the roof.
Back in the playoffs. Like, yeah. What that nigga Mike say, the ceiling is the roof?
The ceiling is the roof.
It's going to be silly in Staples. So if you come back down 0-2, that's no good. Even if Ja play, that's no good.
Yeah. Yeah, you said, I'm glad you said that, because like, it's the first full capacity Laker playoff game in 10 years. The last game, like the 2020 playoffs, obviously was all through the bubble. It was first full cup. In 2021, it was only like, I think LA was 10% capacity. And then when the Clippers made the Western Conference Finals, and by that time it was 50% capacity because I went to one of them games. But so it hasn't been full capacity at Staples Center for a Laker game in 10 fucking years. So that is going to be insane, especially if they come 2-0. It's going to be bussing up in there. So if you're the Grizzlies, you got to win on Wednesday night, man. And by the way, when you're listening to this, this is on Wednesday. This recording is on Monday, so we're not talking about game two of Warriors Kings yet, because that's tonight. But let's get to the other Los Angeles team, the team that I cover, the Los Angeles Clippers. Game one against the Phoenix Suns last night. This has been one of the most, you know, exciting series coming into, the most highly anticipated series. This is a series I picked Phoenix in seven games, but I do think this is going to be a long series, and I think last night is the reason I think it's going to be a long series. I think depth-wise, they have a deeper team. Now, Paul George is out for the rest of the series, so the only way you will see PG is if they advance to the next round. Phoenix is good, and I picked Phoenix coming out the West. I'm not budging off that yet, but there was a couple signs that kind of – couple things that, you know, concerned me as somebody who picked Phoenix to come out of the West. The depth on this team is not that good. You know, Monty Williams ran an 11-man rotation. That's even too much for Phil Jackson, Steve Kerr type. You know what I'm saying? You don't run 11-man. He ran 11-man because he didn't have nobody to trust, you know, and this is also a very small sample size of them having Kevin Durant. Last night was only the ninth game of them having KD because he got hurt for a month, basically. And I feel like, you know, they got to find a way to get him more shots. Now, a lot of that did have to do with Kawhi Leonard being Kawhi Leonard. But he didn't have any shot attempts in the first quarter. He didn't have any in the third quarter, and he only had, like, two in the second. That type of – I mean, the fourth. That type of shit can't happen. And that's the main concern for me. But on the Clippers side, Kawhi Leonard, I think it's been a long time since we forgot. Playoff Kawhi is a different nigga. Now, I'm not expecting him to drop 40 points every night damn near like he did yesterday, but if he plays as well as he did and with the depth that the Clippers have, this series is going to get really, really interesting.
Yeah, bro. I think – and shout out to Russ. I think Russ got to get into it with fans more often, you know. He, you know, he had – I think he had like 8, 9, and 10 or some shit.
He was 3 for 19.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's Russ. Yeah, he was 8, 9, and 10. He had 8, 9, and 11 rebounds.
And a game-ending block on Devin Booker.
Yeah, who instead of, you know, paying attention, is bitching about a foul, and Russ throws the ball off of him. And, you know, he's just an idiot. But I agree with you. I think, like you said, that the depth – we talked about this when they made the trade. Like, you know, the depth was going to be a concern for this team, you know. I wonder if Jay Crowder would have tried to, you know, pull a 180, you know, change of heart and stay. You know, he ended up in Milwaukee, so he's with a championship contender. You know?
Yeah, it was a money thing for him. I think he just wasn't fucking with the niggas in Phoenix.
Yeah. Which makes sense. But my whole thing is a new ownership group, so I would have at least made a call. But that's just
and Phoenix ain't number Milwaukee with palm trees. Let's be real about that.
Yeah. No, I can't say that. I'm taking
you Phoenix fuck with Arizona?
Not, of course not. But I will say this. Phoenix is enough stuff to do. You got every major sport. You got golf, and it's hot year
round. That's what it is, golf. That's what stood out there.
Boy, if I lived in Phoenix, I'd be out there.
We got Dante Woods over here.
I need a suntan sponsorship. I'll be out there. But I agree, though. I think Phoenix, you know, the depth is going to be a concern for them going forward. Obviously, you know, KD is going to be KD. He did what he, you know, he had a good game. It wasn't your typical triple-double. Yeah. It wasn't your KD go crazy. He said 27-11-9. Went nuts. Christopher Paul.
I pray for times like this. I pray for the times that even his little weak-ass jumper he had ain't hitting. He wasn't hitting none of them shits yesterday. Talking about point blank nobody on him. It's to the point they leaving Chris Paul open.
When the midi ain't falling for CP. Yeah.
Family Man Records. You hear that sound? That's Kyrie and that Rafiki from Lion King stick coming down to Phoenix.
It is time.
ain't gonna kick this nigga out the car like Jazz, nigga. You keep playing around. But, yeah, that's a big issue, man. If you need Chris, and I will say this about Clifford Paul. He still influences other parts of the game. You know what I'm saying? When he still had plays.
Yeah, of course.
He got to make that midi, dog. That's going to be an issue if he's not making that consistently.
Yeah, that was his bread and butter for years. Him in that pick and roll, like, cause you know, imagine if you got even a semblance of old Chris Paul and the type of sets they can run and just a different, even like the offense is ridiculous as we see, you know. But like, if he was at his prime, at his peak, bro. Like what we got? Well, 2 years ago, the Chris Paul
Two years ago,
yeah, when they went to 2021,
yeah.
But you know. We'll see how that goes, but I was kind of disappointed in Chris. You know, it's one of those the writings on the wall type of situations where like he's consistently just dropped. You know, but that's what Father Time does. He's undefeated. He's still a great all-time point guard, but they're gonna need more from Chris right now. Yeah. But like, I agree with you. This is gonna be a great series. Kawhi, I think, like you said, sometimes we forget because Kawhi has quietly been hooping for.
He's been the
now.
Best player in the NBA for about a month and a half.
Yeah, so he's been going nuts. You hate to see him lose his sidekick, but.
Yeah, and this thing, like, but this one thing I always said last year about the trade that brought Rocco and Norman Powell over, this team has tremendous depth. They have tremendous depth, and that's not to say PG's not going to be missed. PG is going to be missed. There was a point in that fourth quarter where – you know, where I feel like Norman Powell should have been on the court because they didn't have really anybody who get their own bucket consistently, and that's something that Norm can do well. And I actually forgot Norm Powell was on that 2019 Raptors team that won a championship. I don't know why that slipped my mind, but he was on that fucking roster. I just thought about that the other day. But and they're just great contributions. T. Lou is a good coach. When I first learned about Terrence Mann a couple years ago, I was a big fan. Then T-Man started tripping last year to the point where we'd be at the games, we would have bets. Be me, Pavi, and my homie Cam, we'd be yelling, we'd be making bets. Like, I bet you that nigga don't score 15 points today. Like, to the point where, like, he's finally found because of some consistency. He was big. You got big Eric Gordon moments. So, if there's one thing I think is going to make this a long series, it's the depth the Clippers have. But this, I've also covered, the Clippers can't trick some shit off. And with Russ, you live by the Russ, you die by the Russ. But the one thing I'll say that Russ is, you know, Ty Lue gives him his freedom. Ty Lue trusts him no matter the outcome. And the other coach would took that nigga out as bad as he was offensively. But that's going to help them. But Phoenix, I think, they're going to be fine. You know, all the problems that we just listed, when you have a team that is offensively potent, as they are with their bigger stars, they're going to be in a series. But Phoenix is playing with fire. And if it's a close game, Kawhi is going to do what Kawhi does. And that's just something where all the Clippers got to do is make it close to the end of the game. And Kawhi can deliver them to the promised land. I think that's going to be the biggest factor in this series. Yeah, so let's go to the East real quick. A lot of the East series I don't really care for, but this one series is probably the most interesting out of it. That is Cavs-Knicks. This is real old school Eastern Conference basketball here now. The Knicks did get a big win. How many points did our guy Jalen Brunson have? Was it like 30-something?
Yeah, 27 points on 24 shots.
Okay, he did pretty good. He had some clutch baskets at the end. Julius Randle was good. Josh Hart in his first playoff game was good, but some bad news for the Knicks. Josh Hart will be missing game two as he has a sprained ankle. That's going to be a big blow for them. To me, the thing that stood out to me was the Cavs had a real deer in the headlights look. You could tell it was a lot of them guys' first playoff games. Like, nobody out there looked confident outside of Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, and I guarantee you, Tibbs was probably in there grinning ear to ear because this was his type. This was his type of basketball.
Yep.
Like I said, Jalen Brunson took 24 shots. Somebody took 4 3-pointers. Yep. So, you know, a whole lot of mid range. He only took four. He took four 3-pointers. And he made one. But Julius Randle, of course, he took 10 of them bitches.
Yeah, of course.
It's interesting, man. It's not a lot of shots left for RJ Barrett. He played 31 minutes, you know, has 7 points.
There don't need to be any more shots left for RJ Barrett.
No, I'm just saying it's fucking you know, he was developing. You know, he was developing. He was playing a little better, but no. I agree with you. The series is going to be very interesting.
Nigga. Nobody won't see them but bullshit.
But them
we'll see them bullshit corner threes.
That's. I mean, if he can make them, he got to knock them down. That's the thing. He got to knock them shit down. He don't.
You've never seen him. You've never seen. RJ Barrett hit 2 consecutive threes. You've never seen that shit all season. No.
Can't do it. Can't give it to you.
And Knicks fans really said the RJ for Zach LaVine was a fair trade. Run my
face. People are dumb. But no. The Cavs, they just look like you said, they were that young team that's like, oh shit, we really in the playoffs. And then the Garden was rocking. That's why we talked about Staples. Like, certain buildings in the NBA are just iconic. And like the playoffs, that energy that's gonna come, you can't match.
Well, they was at home.
Wait, which one? Hold on.
You said the Garden. The Cavs was at home.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. Yeah.
They better get that shit together before they go to the Garden.
There we go. They better get that shit together before they get in the Garden, bro. Because
it's Friday night Knicks in New York. The weather's been nice.
It's going to be fucking foolish. It's going to be foolish.
It's going to be a zoo up in there on Friday.
Yeah. You know what threw me off?
What?
Didn't the Cavs wear white jerseys?
Yeah, they did.
I hate that shit.
Yeah, I don't like the Cavs jerseys, period. I like the black joints, but that's about it. The black and burgundy, but it's just like, I feel like Donovan Mitchell was there like, nigga, this is like my 6th playoffs. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got this big goof Rudy Gobert on my team anymore. Nigga, this is my time. Like, he went on a little hot streak, but then this nigga just started gunning. And I'm like, bro, stop shooting three. So it's like, if he would have got a little help, but I think the biggest factor in this game, which was funny because it's one of the things that Cleveland was supposed to be one of their advantages, was the fucking rebounding.
Yeah.
They got out-rebounded like a mother on the offensive glass. I don't know what the hell Jared Allen and Evan Mobley was doing, but they was just standing there letting everybody else on the Knicks get the rebound. So that stuff's got to clean up. Hopefully – my man Darius Garland realized, okay, you got your first playoff game under your belt. Now play like you got some goddamn sense because Donovan Mitchell needs help.
Gee, 16 threes.
Yeah, this is a 1990s.
Donovan Mitchell shot 16
threes. Oh, wait, he shot 16 threes?
Himself, not the team, nigga. Him.
Tripping. Yeah.
And he hit 6. He shot 37%. So, I mean,
it didn't feel like he hit as many as one as he did, but because that was a time when he realized, like Thanos, oh, I have to do this shit myself. And that nigga was just going 1-on-5. And that's the issue with the Cavs is even when they players do play well, they play a lot of go-to-hell ball. Mm-hmm. And that's something where I feel like that's why I picked the Knicks, because the Knicks play better team ball. But no Josh Hart is going to be that's going to be bad for the Knicks.
Yeah, that's going to be tough because, like you said, he's one of those he's, you know, they brought him over at the deadline, and he's really, you know, gave them a spark. And, you know, Josh Hart is a solid – NBA pro, and that's why a lot of times when people I know it's a little bit off topic, but when they were scouts were comparing Bronny to Josh Hart and Drew Holiday and shit like that, I'm like, that's a good, like, that's nothing wrong with that. No,
you can be one of them. Especially if you can be Drew, nigga.
Two very well paid people, you feel me? So I think, like you said, losing Josh, that's gonna be trash. But I think Julius Randle will have a better game than he had in game one. He had 19. You know, so that's a light 19 for him.
And I'll give him a pass. He's come off injury. First time he's played in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I'll give him a pass on that. But I think this is going to be a long series. I think this one is far from over. We know how funny the Knicks are come play all times. And we all know Donovan Mitchell in the Garden. We talk about the one
he
thing.
Gonna have one.
He going to have one. There's one thing. I always say this. Knicks fans get so mad when I say this. The Garden is not famous for anything Knick related. The Garden is famous for what other niggas do at the Garden. That's what the Garden is famous for. And so we know, especially knowing that, you know, he's from the New York area. His mom works with the Mets. You know, they did not want to give up. Now, granted, Danny Ainge was trying to fuck him, but they did not give up more than they thought they were going to get Donovan Mitchell. Like, no, we're going to chill and we're going to sign Jalen Brunson. You know, athletes are psychotic. That nigga remembers that. He's going to go for it. And I think it'll be a good series. They got to clean some stuff on. But the game one in all these series are just filler games. You know, you're getting your feet wet, seeing what it's about. But I think this is going to be a good series, man. Just quick note on one other Eastern Conference series. The only reason we're bringing this up is because the best player in the NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo, got hurt. I only watched like a couple minutes of that game. So I left out the house for a minute, came back, and it was halftime. And I just see this nigga Giannis playing the third quarter. I was like, what the fuck? So he messed his back up. Good thing for the Bucks. Nothing serious. It didn't look like it was serious to me. Woj says that they are optimistic that he will play game two on Wednesday. I'm not really. I said that he took advantage. It was typical playoff Jimmy Butler, 37 points. I don't know what it is about this nigga. He just takes to another level come playoff time. 37 points. Now they suffered a loss too. Tyler Hero has a broken hand. He's going to be out for the rest of the year. So that's a blow for them. But my question for you is, do you think the Miami can make this a longer series? Do you think they can win one more game? Or even with a 70% Giannis, they probably won't win another game?
I think they can possibly get one more at home because they aren't a bad team. We're going to have to have other players, you know, step up and take on probably bigger roles than they wanted them to. You losing Tyler Hero, I wonder if he hasn't been getting much burn, but I wonder if Duncan Robinson gets more run.
He played a little bit.
He got yesterday. Yeah, but you know, Kevin Love gave him 18. Shout out to K Love. Kyle Lowry wasn't on shit.
Kyle Lowry needed to go home and be a fan. More another member of Family Man Records.
Yes, it was a nice run. You know, he really should have. I don't want to say retired. I thought they won the ring.
No, he got retired. He should have retired.
He should have went out on top. Stayed in Toronto. He gonna go up there and get him a statue. He'd be in a ring of fame.
A Kyle Lowry statue is nasty work, by the way. But he will be getting one.
They gonna do some wild shit. Have like him and DeMar, like
hugging and some shit. Yeah,
wild shit. But Kyle Lowry, like you said, he ain't gonna do shit. But you would like to get some more out of him. You're gonna have to have multiple people step up because, I mean, Jimmy can't do it by himself. And I think this is one thing we talk about every year with the Heat is that Jimmy runs out of gas. Like, it ain't a knock on him. It's not the same as a James Harden movie. Say he run out of gas and he just don't show up. Jimmy gonna give you his all. He gonna put up a fight. But then that shit from the bubble, when we saw him leaned over the scores table, you know, the meme that everybody uses, but like, that's Jimmy Butler in a nutshell. Like he
and also Potter, I think Jimmy said it himself that Potter really took that three at the end of game seven last year. He said, man, I ain't had nothing else. He was like, I was like, take that, let's win. Because he's like, I ain't had nothing else. I had nothing else for no overtime.
Yeah, he probably would have collapsed out there on the court.
Yeah. And we know as Bulls fans, I'm a day one card carrying Jimmy Butler stan. I am not afraid to admit it. I'm a big Jimmy guy. Having said all of that, no. I mean, yeah, the Giannis injury isn't serious. He'll be back playing out there again. You know Giannis, this African-ass nigga. He going to play. This a nigga. And, yeah, he's African, nigga. He just grew up in Greece. But, nigga, you in Greece. But, nigga, you are Nigerian, okay? But Giannis will be fine. And this is the thing about the Bucks. They have a deep team. That's why they're my pick to win the entire NBA championship. They had a chance to win that game last night, even without Giannis on the court. And Giannis also, remember 2 years ago, remember that injury against Atlanta in the Eastern Conference Finals? It looked like he tore his ACL.
We thought he was done.
We thought he was done. He came back and was, it looked like nothing happened. So just a back injury, you know, he'll probably get treatment on it, but I think he'll be fine. It wouldn't shock me if Miami won another game, but I'm going to say this. I still think it's a gentleman sweep. I had it as a regular sweep, but I'm going to say it's a gentleman sweep. I think the Bucks are going to do what they're going to do. And this Heat team just isn't as good as they were last year. If the Bulls even had some type of basketball IQ, they wouldn't have won on Friday. You know what I'm saying? So that's just how it's a different basketball team than last year. And the Tyler Hero loss is massive for Miami. And I think that's going to be too big of a hole for them to, you know, to overcome, man. But only with the East, really nothing else to talk about the East. You know, Brooklyn put as much in competitive and was as competitive as we thought they're going to be because they ain't got no star. I love Mikal Bridges. I've been a Mikal Bridges fan before, you know, since he was Villanova. I am a big fan of his. I wish he was on the Bulls. They just don't have enough. And one thing I'll say about that Atlanta-Boston series, Jason Tatum, when the fuck are you going to – like, I feel like you are the Kendall Roy of NBA superstars. Where is the killer? I need the killer. Like we shouldn't be having Jaylen Brown out there with a mask, cut hand, and he got more dog than you, bro. I need to see more. First game back in the playoffs, you got, like, what, was it 17 points this nigga scored? I need more.
Yeah, and like, don't get me wrong, the Hawks do have some, you know, versatile defenders, a couple of them, but they play the
man, he's Jason Tatum, bro. Come on,
yeah, I would say at the end of the day, You are Jason Tatum, you are supposed to, you know, I don't even want to say exert your will, but at the same time,
but you gotta, should,
yeah, I mean, he had a decent game, but at the end of the day, like you said, but this is something we've talked about for years.
We were talking about it like a motherfucker for a year. Me, you, and Pavi were not fooled last year.
I must say, it's been about 2 years, damn near three, where it's like, that's Jaylen Brown team. Like,
yeah.
When shit get hot, when they need somebody, they go to Jaylen. Like, don't get me wrong, Jason always has his games. He got, you know, he gets buckets, bro. Like, it is what it is. We know that. But the problem is, like you said, When shit get tight, they won this game, but you saw throughout the game, you know, they were Jaylen Brown, you know, both took 23 shots, but it's one of those things where you can't just look at the box score. Like, if you watch the game and saw the way that each of them played, you'd be like, yeah, you had a good game, but it's like, nah.
I forgot the niggas on the court a lot of times.
You can give me more than that. You can give me more.
And wasn't enough impact, man. Wasn't enough impact. They need more from that. They're not going to need it to be Atlanta. They got more than enough to be Atlanta.
But they want to get to the chip, yeah.
They're going to have to play Philly in the next round, all right? They're going to have to play Philly. This is a real make-or-break season for Philly. Jason Tatum can't be playing the way he's playing right now. They think they're going to beat the Sixers. So that's all I'm going to say about them. I want to talk about this. I think it's a big storyline this week. In my opinion, the most exciting series in the playoffs right now is the Sacramento Kings versus the Golden State Warriors. To me, it's a classic example of the old guard versus the new guard. Crazy atmosphere on Saturday. Crazy atmosphere. I'm looking forward to watching game two tonight. They came out one massive game by De'Aaron Fox, massive game by Malik Monk. Trey Lyles, he did some big things in the third quarter when the Warriors took a 10-point lead. First win in 17 years for them, all that. Before we get into the actual, you know, series breakdown, what do you think this would mean for the future if, let's just say, even with the Lakers Grizzly series, and I know that's a little different now because we don't know what Ja's going to be like, but what do you mean, think it would mean for, like, the future of the NBA of the old guards, like LeBron and Steph, get knocked out from these up-and-coming, you know, young bucks?
I mean, nothing yet. I think more so just a signal for something that we already know. I think, especially in Steph's case, the Warriors can really, you know, they're going to have to finesse it because, you know, the way they spent their money. But they can make some moves and be right back in this. Like, Steph is still Steph. So I'm not as concerned if they were to lose. As for Bron and, you know, that squad, yeah, I feel like if they were to lose, they get knocked off by the Grizzlies, even with a banged up Ja Morant, then, it, you know, you really start to question things. Again, like you said, you want this team to come. You probably want to run this team back. Get them a full year together to play at where you can possibly. I know people who had that Kyrie dream. You can let that die. They just don't have the bread for it.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the same time, we saw them trade for Russ. So they.
But the thing is, they don't have Russ. That was a trade, though. Kyrie's a free agent. Yeah.
Yeah, true. I'm tripping. Yeah, you're very
once
right.
they once they traded Russ, they gave up that option because the money doesn't come off.
The money don't match. Yeah. Yeah. So
enjoy D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah. But I think more and also I think it's a positive for the NBA because you have your young stars performing on the biggest stage against your brightest stars. So it was one thing if you have, you know, two young stars going at it. Don't get me wrong, that's good. Like we grew up, remember when Vince and AI went at it.
That is that might be my second favorite playoff series ever.
It was amazing. Like they got mad at Vince because he went to his graduation.
I was mad at him too, but I was an irrational seventh grader. As an adult, I'm like, that had nothing to do. He had a good look at the end of game seven. It just missed. But when I was a massive Vince Carter fan. I was like 14. I was so goddamn mad at Vince for going there. I was like, fuck his fucking graduation.
No, Vince is that dude. But, Vince is that dude. No, he's like, don't go on. Those type of series are good. But also, I think it's great to have your young stars competing on, like I said, on the biggest stage and showing out. So it would be good for the league. I don't think it would be a true changing of the guard or anything like that, but I do think it would be something where, you know, if you do league, you can take that and market that. They're not like Major League Baseball, where like you know the NBA they always have two or three quote unquote culture teams that sneak in there and like well, we're gonna market them. You know, they're doing this for the underdog and blah blah blah. Like the Hawks when they were the culture team and got their ass smacked, but.
I don't think nobody outside of Atlanta, Georgia, believes in that team.
No. They didn't believe here. they didn't believe here. Like they don't believe in the Hawks. But no, so this is a UGA city, bro. And we ain't even in Athens. But no, they don't believe in the Hawks. But you know, you get that shit, and the league will push it. So I think that's something that the NBA would love. And I think you know, I don't like I told you, we've made our picks. I don't think it's gonna happen, but. I think if it did happen, that's something that it would be good for basketball.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna happen either. I'm not worried at all about the Warriors losing game one. I mean, it's just you know, it's a team, and when you were as decorated as this team is, it's game one, bro. Like these niggas, like and they had a chance. You know what I'm saying? They had a chance to still win that fucking game. Steph, even though he did the one hander, you know what I'm saying? Motherfucker still almost went in. You know, I thought Andrew Wiggins looked really good for somebody who ain't played basketball in 2 months. He hasn't even been working out. And, you know, it's just something to me where everybody's like, well, Sabonis didn't play well. I just think that's going to be Sabonis' series. I mean, he's going up against Draymond Green and Kevon Looney, who are really good defenders. Dre had an amazing game. I think the Warriors are fine. Even if the Warriors lose game two, I think the Warriors are fine. I won't panic about the Warriors if they lose on. And it's because they're, and this is no disrespect to the Kings, they're a young team, man. Like, yeah, you can win at home. But I said this on, I'm not going to hold you, I'm going to say it here. I think there's going to be a game in this series that the Kings win by like 30 points. But I also think there's going to be a game in this series where the Warriors win by 30 points. The problem is, we know the Warriors can bounce back from a shellacking like that. Remember they lost by damn near 50 to the Grizzlies last year when Draymond was doing the whip that trick and shit?
Because he knew they were going to go home and beat their ass.
Now, can the Kings come back and be you know, something as their shellac? These niggas are Superman at Chase Center. So I'm not worried about that. I think it's going to be a good series. And I think for the NBA long term, yes, it will be good for the league. But let's be very clear about something. If you think that Adam Silver, ABC, ESPN, Disney in general, TNT are rooting for a Grizzlies King series when we potentially might get Steph versus LeBron for the last time, you are out of your fucking mind. Everybody wants that one last series.
Yeah, and Bomani broke it down. And he man, like a lot of people don't even take this type of stuff into consideration, but like a part of it is the TV contracts. Yeah. Smaller markets mean less eyes on it. Like, don't get me wrong, it's the national
TV,
it's the playoff. But, like it's the playoffs, but at the same time, you want
you didn't
those
stay
large
up for
markets
Denver, Minnesota last night.
Exactly. Like, exactly. You want your larger markets tapped in outside of just the diehard fans. You want the casuals to be like, oh, like, prime example. Most people who don't watch basketball every, you know, every night are going to come watch LeBron versus Steph. You said, we haven't seen that since they were in the finals. And, you know.
I'll go even one better. LeBron Steph is the biggest one-on-one rivalry in the NBA since Bird and Magic. I will be very, very spot on with that. Think about it. Mike didn't have a rival in the 90s. Like, I'm talking about like singles, like actual players going at it. It like, has yeah, to like, be Bird and Magic.
I mean, like we actually went at it for titles.
Yeah, like they met in the finals four times. They had that playing game 2 years ago. This would be like their sixth time meeting each other.
Yeah. Bron only beat them once, right?
Bron beat them twice if you include the playing game. If we doing all postseason.
No, I'm talking about for a championship.
Oh,
no,
only beat them once for the championship.
I'm strictly talking titles.
For championship, yeah. 2016, that's it.
Okay.
2016, right, that's it.
I was just double checking.
But I do think for the future league, it'll be fun. Like, there's a lot of people who Saturday night was their first time watching Kings basketball this year. I saw somebody tweet, oh, damn, the Kings this nice? Like, niggas ain't, like, especially if you're, like, if you're not on West Coast time, you're not standing up to watch goddamn Sacramento Kings. Yeah. Like,
yeah. And also, I've been told that they have the best arena in the NBA.
Who, the Kings?
They said hands down, they said that's the best arena in the NBA. Like, it's one of those, like, I love stadiums, and this, like I said, kind of off topic, but I love stadiums where, like, the court or the field or whatever is below street level.
Yeah.
Like, that bitch is, like, down in a pit. And they said that's how this is. So they say it's
well, Staples is like that.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them are, but, like, yeah. When you get that real bowl feel, like, that bitch be rumbling. Like, it's
because the best crowds are in cities where there's nothing to do. Or they only have one major
They get that college atmosphere.
Like, that crowd would never look like that in Miami.
Yeah.
Like, okay, see me crack to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's too much other things to do. So I think it would be, like, cool from, like, a storyline, like you said. I don't think I think when I said Last Dance for the Warriors, it's with this core. I don't think Draymond's coming back.
Yeah.
But we know Bob Myers is a great GM. Joe Lacob and Peter Gruber don't give a fuck about spending money. They can retool. As long as you have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, the way Wiggins been playing, it's not the Last Dance for them, but for the Lakers and LeBron. Because I truly feel like LeBron knows this is probably his last legit shot of the championship. And I think the Lakers know that too. And I think that's why they're going to go super hard for Bron. That would be a cool storyline. But let's be real. Everybody wants Steph versus LeBron one last time. Like, we all 100%. Want that shit. 100%, man. Let's wrap this up. And we're going to, unfortunately, talk about our favorite basketball team.
These
Chicago Bulls, who are now almost half a century, not half, a quarter of a century, since the last time these niggas won an NBA championship. In fact, these niggas have only won, I think, three or four postseason series since Michael Jordan kept his big-ass suits out of the United States. That was 2007 when they swept the Miami Heat. That was 2011 when they beat the Pacers in the first round, and then they beat the Atlanta Hawks in the second round. Who forgets that great 45-point D. Rose game in Phillips Arena? They won in 2013 when they beat the Brooklyn Nets in seven games. Actually, it's five. And then they beat the Milwaukee Bucks in 2015. So that was only five playoff wins since Michael Jordan has left this franchise. Now, the Bulls had a pretty exciting first play-in game against the Toronto Raptors. Showed a lot of fight coming back from 19 down. Zach actually looked good, but in true Bulls fashion, they lose on Friday, which they had a chance of winning. And I was at a bar watching this. By the way, shout out. Next time you come to LA, nigga, we going to this Jameson Pub in fucking Culver City. They got five Jameson shots.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, nigga. Yes, exactly. So me and Pat was in there on Friday watching the game. And as soon as, like, I think, like, Jimmy got, like, an N1, I was like, this game's over. So then we had AK had his, you know, end-of-season press conference. And it's like, the more I hear AK talk, the more and more he sounds like Rick Hahn. The more and more he sounds like Kenny Williams. There's no coincidence because these niggas both employed by the same old man. Now, let's take off our fan hats for a minute because I know we're upset and we can say that, you know, nothing's going to happen again. But what is, like, a realistic way for you, for the Bulls to pivot into a direction? Because as AK said, they're not going to rebuild. Really can't rebuild. These niggas tried to rebuild 3 years in a row and got 7-7-7. They have the same percentage chance of getting Victor Wembanyama as they had when they got Derrick Rose in 2008. What do you think the Bulls go from here?
I think depending on where they draft pick lands, not the Bulls, but the team I'm about to say, you got to call Portland and ask about Dame. Like, if you can, like, if Dame is unhappy and wants to get out of there, because we've talked about for years trying to position themselves to get a disgruntled star. And, you know, but Dame, I think this is the offseason where if we do see him move, I think, you know, we may see something to shake. But I think you call them, see if we can give him, you know, DeMar Vooch and some picks. Well, do we got picks again?
Well, Vooch is a free agent. Well, that could be a sign and trade if they want
to. Sign and trade to make sure the money match up. Because I know Dame on the Supermax, ain't he?
Yeah, he's on the Supermax.
So, yeah. So, but like something like that. But I think you have to, unfortunately, and I hate to say it because I think he is really good. You got to move DeMar. If Zach's your guy, Zach has to be the guy. And there's too many times that he becomes passive. And I think part of that is because of DeMar's game. You know, like a lot of people, you know, we said they couldn't play together, but they need a facilitator. And if we don't get a point guard, then you have to move DeMar. Now, if you can get a point guard in there, then I think that's your opportunity to actually see the maximum potential out of this roster. But what point guard are you going to bring in?
That's the question. Fred VanVleet is a free agent. Tyus Jones should be a free agent. Those are two options right there.
Okay. Do you think they would actually come to Chicago? Well, if you think Fred from Illinois, I say from Illinois, didn't I? I ain't say Chicago, did I?
No, he's from Rockville. I mean, listen, all the Bulls gonna pay. And this goes back to every Reinsdorf-led organization. If you are a White Sox fan, it's the same fucking shit. Like,
exactly.
It's the same shit. And to me, the problem here with the Bulls, there's not a pat. Like, the Dame thing, I would put all my chips in for Dame Lillard, 100%. There's not a nigga on this roster that I would not trade for Dame Lillard. I would try to keep Zach, and I'm pretty sure if Dame wants to come here, he would want Zach here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I do think there's a path for that. My whole thing with the Bulls, the niggas need shooters, bro. Like, I don't think there's a, you know, outside of getting Dame, if you take away Dame, because as a Bulls fan, until the nigga actually get a superstar, I believe it when I see it. So we put the Dame thing to the side. There's no path for them to make the championship. But there's a path for them to be what Cleveland is or what New York is. If they just get an actual point guard and they surround these niggas with shooters. Like, they keep playing 1990s basketball in 2023. Even if you look at the playoffs, even the weakest niggas got like five good three-point shooters. That's the main problem. And I know, not to cut you off, I know there's a lot of Bulls fans out there who are mad at AK, and I'm not trying to absolve AK of any responsibility, but you got to understand this, and I say this as a fan of two teams this nigga owns. It's not the GM, it's the owner. I don't know if AK is a good GM. Honestly, don't know if Rick Hahn is a good GM. What are they allowed to do is the question.
At the same time, we can't really say that about the Bulls because they spend money. Like, the White Sox don't spend shit. I'm with you on that. But
the Bulls have to spend money if they have a fucking salary cap. But like,
yeah, so I mean, so in that case, he's really handcuffed. And like, don't get me wrong, I will agree, we always do the bullshit half-ass effort when it comes to getting a true superstar.
Yeah.
So even with the Dame situation, it would be interesting to see how they would finesse that. But I think overall, like, the money thing ain't a really issue for me. It's more so getting people to come play here. And so with a VanVleet, what does he want his role to be? Because if he comes here, you still deferring to Zach. You feel me? And if you don't make,
Fred VanVleet thinks he's gonna be a number one anywhere.
We've seen people who try to go like to places where they maximize their role as well as their dollars.
Have fun in Charlotte, nigga.
Hey, he might be a hornet, but wait. So, I said so. Melo will be back. Hopefully,
Melo got them ball bones, man. We don't know.
I said hopefully, man, because he fractured his foot on some nut shit.
Yeah, he missed almost all of last season. They only played like 20 some games, if that.
It's crazy. But we talk about the miles they put on their bodies, G.
Yeah.
With these injuries, but the Bulls, no, you got to get a point. Either, like I said, okay, I said DeMar first. That was my first. It was a big splash. Tried to trade for Dame. But realistically, you may have to go after VanVleet. You let Vooch walk, so you gonna have to bring another big man.
I'm pretty confident saying Vooch is going to come. I don't take much from AK's press conference because a lot of that shit is GM speak. Yeah. But two things I took from it is he's bringing Vooch back. Even though Vooch said this, I thought it was interesting what Vooch said. What Vooch said was much different from what AK said. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of goes with what you were saying about blue people wanting to play in Chicago. Vooch was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to list to Chicago. I'm hitting the market, though. Like, basically, he was like, nigga, I'm not giving a discount to nobody. Nigga, pay me. Yeah. Chad had a pretty good year this year. You know, I think a lot of people get upset about the trade. I'm still not as mad about the trade as anybody else because of the timing with the Bulls needed at the time. But yeah. I think Vooch is going to come back. I think they're going to re-sign Kobe. Kobe had a really good year. I'm not mad at that. But more than anything, these niggas need shooters. And I'm with you. DeMar got to go. I like DeMar. DeMar guy. DeMar has to go for two reasons. One, so Zach ain't deferring to nobody. And two, and I know you think he's Trevor Reeves or whatever, and I'm not here to gas Patrick Williams.
Oh, my God.
I'm not here to gas him. But you need more shot attempts for Pat. And that's 20 shot attempts that will be off the table if DeMar is gone. So, and I do feel like off the way that DeMar has played the last two seasons, two all-star appearances, he's played very well. There will be a team out there that's willing to trade him, whether it's Dame or anybody else. So there's a lot. And I feel like AK, we're going to see what they're made of. AK and me this year, I'm not expecting shit. The same way I didn't expect nothing with the White Sox. But
yeah.
There's a path because, you know, this shit. And one thing I'll say about this, and we're going to wrap it up here. Bulls fans, I will say this, like I said last week, Bulls fans don't deserve this. Bulls fans, to me, are the most rational out of all the Chicago sports fans. That's very low bar. But the bar's in hell. Bears fans do not know the game of football. Cub fans think they're the Yankees. And White Sox fans are the most woe-is-me fucking fan base on planet Earth. So, yeah, I think that's the difference between, but Bulls fans are loyal. And, you know, the Bulls deserve more. There's no reason why the Bulls and the legendary status they had, they're still a top seller everywhere in the league. Like, when they come to all these other cities, whether it's a Laker game or a Clipper game, there's a large contingent of Bulls fans there because the Bulls are a massive brand name just off the Jordan era. There's no reason why this team shouldn't be still competing for championships. And I think it's not going to happen until, and I'm not, you know, wishing death on nobody, but until that nigga Jerry Reinsdorf go, I'm not expecting much from two of the teams I root for, man. But it's a real line in the, you know, draw a line in the sand as offseason for the Bulls. And I'm really interested to see what they're going to do, man. But that's all we got for y'all today. Episode 177 of Ball Don't Lie. We'll be back next week. To break down, you know, even more playoff basketball, man. So you know to follow us on Twitter at BarberChairScott, at October's Own Tay, follow the Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram. If you are in the Chicago area, you're looking for a place to watch the NFL draft, come on down to the Barber's Chair Net NFL Draft Watch Party for night one of the NFL Draft next Thursday, April 27th. Haymarket Pub and Brewery on 737 West Randolph Street. That is the West Loop area of downtown Chicago. Doors open at 5. We're going on to 10:30. We're going to have some raffles. We're going to have the pool tables to set up. They've got great beer. They've got amazing beer, actually, at Haymarket Pub and Brewery. Come out. Fuck with us. We got food, everything, hosted by J.R. Bang. On the ones and twos will be the homegirls, the label. You must RSVP to get in. RSVP at the BCNet.com. And yeah, man, subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. And we'll holler at y'all next week, man. We out.